This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today, many Christians throughout the world are observing the last Sunday of the church year. Now, next Sunday, we begin a whole new church year with the season of Advent. But today, we focus on the last Sunday of the church year. And during this time, it's common for many Christians to focus on the second coming of Christ and the hope of eternal life with Him in the new creation. But having said that, I already mentioned that today is also the last day for something else. Today we end my 12-part sermon series, Dying to Live the Baptized Life. First of all, allow me to summarize briefly what we've learned in the first three sermons. In the first three sermons of this series, we heard what Scripture teaches about baptism and what it means for our daily lives as Christians. For instance, in the first sermon, we learned that baptism is a matter of death and life. In baptism, we're connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus. In baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, our sinful nature is buried by the power of Christ's death, and then a new godly nature in us is raised up by the power of Jesus' resurrection. Therefore, concerning God's work for us in baptism, in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now, in our second sermon, we learned about the necessity of nurture. You see, the new nature that God gives us in baptism must be nurtured by God's Word, or our faith will grow weak and it may eventually die. And my friends, if our faith in Christ dies, then we will walk away from Him and His salvation to the grief of God. Therefore, those who have been born again in baptism must be fed by Christ's Word so that their faith will grow strong and mature. For example, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." That's why it's so important to be coming to services like this regularly and also making a point to attend Bible class, whether that be Sunday morning or some other time during the week. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2 it says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Now in our third sermon, we learned that the baptized life is a daily battle. You see, in your baptism, your sinful nature was buried with Christ, but it didn't cease to exist. You could say that in baptism, your sinful nature was placed on death row, and one day it will die completely when we die. But until then, our sinful nature still exists. And therefore, we must battle with that sinful nature constantly. Our new nature is constantly at war with the desires of our sinful nature. That's why Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 7. Of his own baptized life, Paul says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." So when Christ in us is moving us to do good, our sinful nature always tags along for the ride, trying to drag us away. But you see, that's why we need Jesus. Without Him, we're doomed. But as we're nurtured by Him and His Word, He will not only give us the comfort of knowing that our sins are forgiven in the midst of this daily battle, but He will also give us the strength to say no to the desires of our sinful nature, and yes, to God's loving plan for our lives. Now that I've said that about the first three sermons, which explained the nature of baptism and its meaning for our lives, I would now like to very briefly review what we learned in sermons 4 through 11. Very simply put, starting with sermon 4, we learned that living the baptized life means that we get to repent of various particular sinful attitudes and behaviors that grieve God and destroy our lives. But we also learned that as we battle with these horrible sins, we know that Christ has saved us, that He forgives us, and that He will help us to develop godly attitudes and behaviors that will please God and benefit others. Now, allow me to briefly take you through the themes of each of those sermons, and hopefully you will remember some of the points I made. The themes were as follows: vengeance versus mercy, pride versus humility, greed versus gratitude, sinful freedom versus godly accountability, evil affirmation versus righteous judgment, self-destruction versus self-discipline, lust versus love, and last Sunday, selfishness versus service. We learned how God uses His Word to expose these sins and others in our lives, but He does that so that we might repent of them and then trust in Jesus, who not only forgives us, but also will help us to live according to God's good will for us. Therefore, living the baptized life means that every day we live, we repent of our sin, and every day we live, we trust in Jesus for mercy and the strength to live for Him. With that in mind, I would like to once again read for you an explanation that Martin Luther gave about the meaning of baptism for our daily lives. I mentioned this in several of my sermons in this series, but it would be good for us to hear it once again in this last sermon. Luther said, "The sinful nature in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new person daily come forth and arise who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever." Did you hear that last word? The word forever. My friends, on this last Sunday of the church year, we focus on the fact that this world is not our real home. No, Christ will return in glory one day. He will then judge the living and the dead. All who have died will be resurrected, and they will stand before God's judgment throne along with those who are still alive when Christ returns. But you do not have to fear that day. In fact, as we heard in our reading from 2 Peter, we believers can look forward to that day with great joy. You might wonder how that's possible. Well, it's possible because Christ has already judged you to be innocent and holy because He washed away the guilt of your sin in holy baptism and clothed you with His own innocence and righteousness. I'd like you to listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul writes about what God does for us in baptism. He says, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Did you hear that wonderful news? As the Spirit moves you to live the baptized life, and as you experience that daily battle struggling with your sinful nature, in the midst of all that, you can rejoice in knowing that you are always holy and blameless before God because of the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection that were given to you personally in the waters of holy baptism. And so when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sinful nature. Instead, He sees you as you really are, a new creation in Christ. You see, as a Christian, your sinful nature no longer defines who you are. In fact, Two Sundays ago, I read for you a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about people who had one time been unbelievers in bondage to sin, but then they were brought to repentance, faith in Christ, and were baptized. And here's what Paul says to them, and it applies to us too. He says, that is what you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. My Christian friends, as you daily rejoice in your baptismal identity, and as you continue to be fed and nurtured by Christ's Word and by His body and blood in the Lord's Supper, you can then live in the joy of knowing that you are forgiven and holy in God's sight right here and now. And that's why you can look forward to the final day when Christ returns in glory. On that day, our sinful nature will no longer exist, and you will get to live with the Lord forever in the new creation that He will prepare for us on that day. In fact, you could say that when God baptized you, He made you a part of His never-ending story. You see, when God created the world in the beginning, it was His plan that you would live in His love forever. But as you know, that story was interrupted when Adam and Eve turned away from God and decided to write their own story. And I'm afraid we were born into Adam and Eve's sinful story. And you know, we're also guilty of writing our own sinful stories that end only in death. But the good news is that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to write you back into God's never-ending story of mercy, love, and life. My friends, Jesus placed you into this never-ending story when you were baptized. Now, there's something you have to remember, though. Just as the devil did not want Adam and Eve to be in God's never-ending story, he doesn't want you to be in it either. And so the devil will tempt you to reject what God has done for you in baptism. The devil will tempt you to leave God's never-ending story and write your own story. But my friends, don't believe the devil's deadly deception. Instead, rejoice in your baptism daily. Rejoice in your baptism where Christ made you a part of God's never-ending story of mercy, love, and life. My friends, I know it's hard being a Christian in this world. Our daily battle with sin, on top of the pain and death and other tragedies we experience in this world, it can be hard. But the good news is that this daily battle in this sinful world won't last forever. In fact, the trials and struggles of this life are nothing compared to the never-ending story that awaits us in God's new creation. No wonder the Apostle Paul could write these words in Romans chapter 8. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So as we live the baptized life, we can look forward to Christ's return. We can rejoice every time we pray the Lord's Prayer and say, Thy kingdom come. And as we live the baptized life, we can rejoice in the fact that we are part of Christ's never-ending story. In fact, if you want to think of it this way, our lives in this world, they're only the cover of the title page. On the final day, we will begin chapter 1 of the never-ending story which no one on earth has read. And my friends, this story will go on forever, and every single chapter will be better than the one before it. But you know, that leads to a question. Some of you might say, you know, that sounds so good, Pastor. Why doesn't Jesus just return now? Why doesn't he just come now and put an end to this world of sin, pain, and death? Well, we have the answer to that question in our second reading from 2 Peter. He writes, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." My friends, God wants all sinners to be saved. God wants every child of Adam and Eve to be part of his never-ending story. Sadly, some have never heard the story. As Harvey said in our children's sermon, there are some people still walking around in the darkness because they have not heard of God's never-ending story in Christ. Even more sad, some will hear the story, but they will turn their backs on God's good news and continue to write their own deadly stories. But my friends, that's not God's will for you. God baptized you because he wants you to be part of his never-ending story of mercy, love, and life. In fact, that's why we Christians are dying to live the baptized life. Because God has made us a part of his never-ending story in Christ, and that never-ending story shapes our lives here and now. In fact, Peter talked about the baptized life in our second reading. Remember what he said? He said, "What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." I can't wait for that day to dawn. But until that day dawns, we need to remember that there are many other people, even right here in Jamestown, who are not part of God's never-ending story. We who have been made part of God's never-ending story in baptism, we get to share Christ's story with others so that they too might become part of God's never-ending story. On the final day, we will stand with all believers of past, present, and future. We will stand before Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died for our sins and then conquered death for us so that we might be his own forever. But until that wonderful day dawns, we believers are dying to live the baptized life because we have been made part of God's never-ending story of mercy, love, and life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.